All right, we're starting here in the middle of Pei Gimel Amud Aleph. We are now switching over. We finished off with the Braita yesterday, which actually is just a lead-in to the Braita that we're bringing today, and that is we're in search of the source for Rabbi Akiva's view that anything that's a Dvar Chuva has to be Ba Min HaChulin. So we already knew that from Rabbi Eliezer, based on the Korban of Pesach, and that's the Mishnah. Our Mishnah here in Menachot is based on that view of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Akiva disagreed because he believes you can't learn Efshar from Efshar. And then the Gemara said, where does Rabbi Akiva know that from? So it says, well, from the Braita. Well, we brought a Braita, but that's just the lead into the next part of the Braita, which is how you darshan the Pasuk of Zota Torah, Laula, La Mincha, Vela Chatat, Vela Sham, Vela Meluim, Vela Zevach Hashlamim. That whole Pasuk, we darshan each word in the Pasuk, meaning each Korban in the Pasuk, contributes something to a grand Hekesh that says that it applies to all Korbanot. So the Braita that we finished off with yesterday went through each one of them and gave us the item. Now we have a different version of the Braita, which is authored by Rabbi Akiva, and is going to get us to our answer, which is Matnitza Tana Mishmei de Rabbi Akiva, Zota Torah, Bechulei, Mincha. So now he has a different limud from Mincha. Ma Mincha, Mikadeshet Bibalua, Avko Mikadeshet Bibalua. So as opposed to the previous Braita, which learned this din from Chatat, Rabbi Akiva is learning this from Mincha. The other Braita learned from Mincha that all Kodshei Kodashim are Nechalim, the Zichrei Kuhuna. And there was a question as to whether we needed that at all, because we have another limud from the Psukim in Korach to teach us that Zivchei Shal Mitzibur, which is the only one where we don't know explicitly that the Zichrei Kuhuna get it, that there's a ribuy in the Pasuk there. Gemara said that was a Machloket Tanaim, as to whether we learn it from the word Mincha, or we learn it from the ribuy in the Pasuk in Bamidbar Yudchet. So obviously Rabbi Akiva subscribes to that Tana or another Tana, whereas there's a third Tana that has a different source for it, but not from the word Mincha. So now he learns from the word Mincha that whatever comes into contact with the Mincha, absorbed or penetrated by the Mincha, takes on the shape or form of the item that it is in contact with. The example that we saw yesterday was with regards to a Chatat and Shlamim. If a Chatat and Shlamim are mixed together, then the Shlamim takes on the properties of the Chatat. It can only be eaten Yom V'Laila, it can only be eaten by Zichrei Kuhuna, because it's absorbed from the Chatat, and therefore it takes on the color, the status of the Chatat. So Rabbi Akiva now is learning this from the Mincha. The Miuchas, the Rashi, quotes the Pasuk as being Kol Nogea Ba'Yigdash. That's not the right quote. If you look at Rashi himself, it's Kol Asher Yigah Bahem Yigdash. Because the Pasuk says, Kol Zachar B'Bnei Aaron Yochlena, Chol Kolam L'Dorotoichem Yishe Hashem, Kol Asher Yigah Bahem Yigdash. Anything that comes into contact with them will become Kodesh. That's written by the Mincha. And so, by the Mincha, we learn that contact, that transference between the items causes the properties of those items also to be passed back and forth. Obviously, the Chumrah, which everyone is more Chamur, that's the property that's being passed along. So now, the previous Braita learned this from Chatat. Rabbi Akiva is keeping that and saying, yes, also from Chatat we learned that. But I need Mincha and I need Chatat. If it only had written it by Mincha, Mishum Derekicha Bala. Because it's soft, it's absorbent, and because of that, it is liable or has the issue of passing flavor or contact with it will cause a problem. Aval, chatat, emalo, but chatat, which is not soft, it's basar. Maybe over there's no passage of flavor or din when they come into contact. Ve'ikat afrano v'chatat, mishum de basar, agav de shamein kadir. Because it's fatty, it penetrates. It is something that can pass flavor or gets liquefied in some way and can pass back and forth those conditions. Aval mincha, but mincha which is not liquidy in nature and doesn't have that fat in it, emalo, maybe that wouldn't be the case. Tzricha, so that's why I need both the chatat and the mincha to teach me that item. Interesting enough, now he has another limud from the word chatat. Chatat. And Tosafot points out, Tarte Dorish mi chatat. He's learning two things out of chatat. Tekvar Dorish namich ma chatat balua mikadeshet. It's clear from the previous part of the Braita that he's also learning the same way we did in yesterday's Braita. The word chatat is coming to teach about balua. So chatat, ma chatat, ena ba'ala min achulin. Just like chatat can only come from chulin ubayom, and is only processed during the day. Ubeyado yemanit, and only can be done with your right hand. Afko, so do all korbanot. Enuba ela min chulin, only come from chulin. Ubeyom, and can only be processed during the day. Ubeyado yemanit, and have to be done with the right hand of the kohen. V'chatat gufa minolan. How do you know that chatat has to come from the chulin? You're making a statement of fact that chatat, just like chatat comes from chulin, so do everything else. How do you know that chatat comes from the chulin? Amrav chista damakra. The pasuk says by the par shoyom kipurim of Aron HaKohen, b'kriv Aron et par chatat asher lo, his chatat, that he brings it of his own money, of his own accord. Lo v'lo mishel tzibur, lo mishelo v'lo mishel maser. So the lo teaches you that it comes out of his personal funds, not out of the community budget, not out of the machatzita shekel. And lo also teaches you that it's got to come out of his personal funds and not meiser sheni. So this is what we were searching for. It says in the middle of this braita, took us a long time to get there, but this is Rabbi Akiva's position as to why we know that korbanot must come in a chulin and not from meiser sheni. He learns that of the word chatat in that pasuk of Zot HaTorah. So now bayom, we have by the korban of Yom HaKippurim, it says, ki biyom hazeh yechaper aleichem, which would have given you that source that it has to be done during the day, because that's the par shel Aron, which we learned Mishalo from as well. Mibriom tzabato nafka. Why do you need to learn that from chatat? We have an explicit pasuk right there in Parshat Tzav, subsequent to the pasuk that we're darshaning in this braita, which is Asher tziva Hashem et Moshe bar Sinai, biyom tzabato b'nei Yisrael akriv et korbanayem l'Hashem b'midbar Sinai. And from Yom Tzabato, we learn all the korbanot that it has to be processed, the korbanot have to be done during the day. Kedei nasfa. The Gemara brought it down as a sidebar. The limud is not from chatat itself, but rather from biyom tzabato, but it mentions the fact that the din is true. It happens to be true that all korbanot are brought during the day. It associates it with the chatat, but not that that's the source for the fact that we do it during the day. Biyado yemanit. Because anywhere it says etzva and guna, it's a reference to yamin, and we learn it out from a zereshava from mitzora, where there it specifies that it has to be done by yamin. Biyado yamanit, we learn from here, midrabo babachana nafka. We learn that out from the limud that we've seen a number of times. Damara babachana mareish lakish, kamakom shenemar etzva vikuna, enu el yamin. Anytime it says both etzva and kuna, that teaches you that you have to use the right hand. Again, the Gemara says, kedei naspa. You're right. Right-handedness, even though it is mentioned by the Korban HaChatat, nevertheless, it is learned from Etzva and Kehuna. We can learn it even without Chatat. We're mentioning it because it happens to be true that all Korbanot have to be done during the day. All Korbanot have to be done with the right hand. But that doesn't mean the source for it is Chatat. Gemara, as a side, mentions that these properties are true of all Korbanot, assigns it to Chatat, but that's not the source for the halacha with regards to these items. So both of those items are found by a chatat. Nevertheless, we have a different source for them. And they're mentioned here because they are associated with the chatat, but not because the chatat is the source for it. The Baal Yad Tosafot over here indicate that the difference as to whether you learn them from here or you learn them from the other limudim might have to do with whether the Lord Alameh B'Gzer Shavah Enu Chuzer Malameh B'Hakesha. But the argument in the Gemara's Bechim is how you deal with multiple types of limudim, strings of limudim. For instance, in a case we have a gzer shava, can it be chuzer malamed v'akesha? So, according to that individual, tzarech lamar kedei naspa. The etzba de chatat gufei, yolepi gzer shava mi mitzora. Because the fact that the etzba is the right etzba by chatat, we learn from a gzer shava of etzba ayimanit by the mitzora. So the source within chatat is a gzer shava. Then, if you want to extend it to the other korbanot, you're building in a hekesh on top of a gzer shava. And that in the Gemara, in Zvachim, when we learned all those different types of limudim, there, it was a machloket as to whether you can build a hekesh on top of a gzer shava. So that might be the machloket as to whether it's kedei nasba over here, and this isn't the real source, or whether you could have this as the real source. If you believe a gzer shava can then produce a hekesh, then this could be the source. If you think otherwise, then it has to be kedei naspa over here, and the source has to be something direct versus it coming through a hekesh. And so therefore, according to the Baal Yad Tosafot, the one who holds that a gzer shava is not chuzer melameid behekesh, They have to say Kedei Naspa over here. And that's why the Gemara here actually does not bring the alternate answer that's also given in the Gemara in Zvachim, which is Vi by Dema, Saralak Rabbi Shimon. He holds like Rabbi Shimon that says, Etzva lo vayi kuhuna, kuhuna by Etzva. Etzva by itself is enough, doesn't need kuhuna, but kuhuna does require Etzva, and therefore you need it to be learnt from Chatat to the other Korbanot, because by the Korban Chatat it says, Lakach HaKohen midama Chatat be'etzva'o. So it has both Kohen and Etzva, and not like the Chachamim who believe that or Kohen or Etzva is sufficient. And so for Rabbi Shimon, you have to learn it from Chatat, because that's the only place that has that combination, and therefore you have to learn it through a Hekesh afterwards. That's only according to one who says you can learn a Hekesh that's built upon a Gzeres Shavah. But Tosafot suggests over here that according to that opinion, that you can't do it, you have to use Kedei Naspa, and therefore the Gemara over here only brings that one side, but it does not bring the alternate answer. Vi by Dema, Saralak Rabbi Shimon. Asham. So what does he do with the word Asham? Masham atzmotav mutarim, afkol atzmotav mutarim. So just like by the asham, the atzamot are mutarim, so too by all the other korbanot, the atzamot are mutarim. So the Gemara on Daf Tzadichet Amud Aleph in Zvachim brings this braita, both the braita, that one that we saw yesterday and the one today. And over there, Rashi makes a comment about masham atzmotav mutarim. So Rashi at the bottom of the Amud there says, Lasot mehem kelim. You can use the atzamot of the asham to make utensils with it. Ani shamati, sharei nechala kohenim. I heard, and this he heard from his rebbeim, that the reason that is true is because it's eaten by the kohenim. Venotar ba'atzamot lo shayach. And there's no din of notar by bones, ela bedavar nechal. Only with bones that are edible. Whether that means that there's meat on the bone, or whether there's meat or moach, which is inside of the bone, but otherwise the bones themselves don't have a din of notar. So given the fact that the asham has heter l'achilat kohanim, and there's no din of notar by the bones, from that you would conclude all other korbanot have this din, v'afilu ola. And even an ola will have that same din. So even though an ola is not eaten, nevertheless we learn from the hekesh to asham that that is the case. Umi bayili. Rashi asks a question on the Misora he gets from his Rebbeim. Hanami michatat avematzi yalif. Why do you learn it from Asham? You could just have easily learned it from the Chatat. Chatat is the same din. It's eaten by the Kohanim, and there's no notar by the Atzamot. So why are you learning it from Asham and not from Chatat? It's true of any Kurban that is Nechal, you could have learned this from. So then why is it specifically learned out of Asham? Benira be'inai. So Rashi over there says the reasoning is, Milo iye yitera nafkele. Basham dichtiv, because by the Asham it says, Mikdir otam akoen amizbecha, ishela Hashem Asham hu. We'll see later on why that Asham hu is important. Kol zachar b'koenim yochlenu, b'makom kadosh ye'achel kodesh kodeshim hu, kachatat ka'asham, Torah achat lehem, akoen asher yechaper bo, lo iye. And then the subsequent pasuk, which also will become important in a minute, is, V'kohen ha-makriv et olat ish, or ha-ola asher yikriv la-kohen lo yiyah. Because it says by the Asham, la-kohen lo yiyah. That it will belong to the Kohen, or it will be to the Kohen. So Rashi says that language of lo yiyah is extraneous. Given that it's an extraneous language, the lo yiyah comes to teach you something more belongs to the Kohenim. And that is the Atzamot. And Rashi sees that as being the source, and the source being solely within Asham. And that's why we need Asham to teach us by the other korbanot. The Baalei HaTosafot in Zvachim, as well as over here, question that view of Rashi. First of all, because of the fact that the pasuk he's quoting, Lakoin lo yiyeh, includes both Chatat and Asham in the pasuk. So that's one problem, which is that how can you use that as your source? Because the lo yiyeh includes in that pasuk both Chatat v'Asham. In addition to that, the words lo yiyeh appear by the ola as well. So now, if this source is from lo yiyeh, then ola also has those words lo yiyeh that is found by it. And so then why do I need Asham to teach me that din when I could have already learnt it directly by ola from the words lo yiyeh? And Tosfot adds the fact that Ashi picked Asham instead of all the other korbanot, has to do with what the Balei Tosafot had said before with regards to mincha in the previous braita, which is even though you can learn this from multiple different korbanot, in the end, each korban is providing a certain din. And since we already had a use for chatat and asham, therefore we have brought the zichrei kuna from mincha. And similarly over here, even though we could have learned it out of chatat, nevertheless, we learned it from asham because asham was available, because according to Rabbi Akiva, asham can't be for what's mentioned in the previous braita, because the previous braita is going to Rabbi Eliezer, with things you can learn, efshar me'i efshar. In addition, he brings from Rashi over here, which is in the Rashi Ktab Yad, which is va'od, be'asham k'tiv ba, lachar haktarat emurim. After the haktarat emurim, it says by the asham, that asham hu, mashma hu asham, v'lo atzmuto av asham. That it is an asham, but its bones are not an asham, the hu, is a miut that comes to teach you this. That is Rashi's sourcing for it. And then he quotes the Gzeir Shabbat from HaMizbeach HaMikadesh, Daf Pei Vav, in Zvachim, Nemer lo yeh ba'ola, v'nemer lo yeh ba'asham. Ma'asham atzmutah mutarim, af ola atzmutah mutarim. So again, they have a Gzeir Shabbat. And the Gemara says you need the Gzeir Shabbat to be mufnei, because if it wasn't, you could undermine the Gzeir Shabbat. So then Tosafot asks the question, which then he answers in Zvachim, which is, V'tzarech l'daktek, lama l'itrei krai. Why do I need two psukim or two limudim to teach me that atzamot are okay? One is the hekesh that we're noting over here, and one is the gzeir shava that we have below yeh from asham to ola. Because the way that Rashi is learning, anything that's an eden korban, you have the het there built into that about the atzamot. So then the only korban that you need to teach it about is the ola, because the ola is the only korban that's not eden, and that's why you need to know about atzamot. So now I have two limudim. First of all, hekesh. That's a hekesh of all korbanot, just to teach me the din from asham to ola. And then I also have a gzer shava that's teaching me the same exact thing. So Balei Tosafot in Zvachim says that the gzer shava that is found in a mizbeach mikadesh and daf peivav in Zvachim is according to the previous braita's author. Previous braita's author used asham to teach you asham, yes. Shvir v'shalyad, no. And there it's efshar to efshar. And we know Rabbi Kiva doesn't hold of that limud, so that makes it probably authored by Rabbi Eliezer, who does subscribe to that. So now according to Rabbi Eliezer, who doesn't have the asham available for this, he needs the gezer shava of lo yeh, lo yeh. But the hekesh is used by Rabbi Akiva because he has the asham available, because he doesn't learn the shafir and the shaliyah from the din of asham, because that's from efshar to efshar. And so therefore Rabbi Kiva has the asham available, and he learns it from the hekesh, rather than the gzera shava. So that's how the Balei Tosafot deals with it. Number one, that the two sources for the two dinim are actually two different tanaim. One could use the ekesh, Rabbi Kiva, because he has a sham available. Because Rabbi Kiva says you can't learn from efshar to efshar, because you can't use a sham for shafir v'shaliyah. The Rabbi Eliezer, who thinks you can do that, doesn't have a sham available. Therefore, he'll learn it out from the gzera shava of lo yeh, lo yeh. And the reason the Balei Tosafot say that the lo yeh by ola doesn't teach you the same din it teaches by asham. If the word lo yeh teaches you that din by asham, then why can't it just teach you that din by ola? Why do you need a gzer shava? So he says, because by the korban ola, you need the lo yeh to teach you that the or, that the hides belong to the kohanim. Because by the korban ola, which is kalil, that goes to Hashem, it's not obvious that anything's left out. Over there, the din of lo yeh would only teach you that the or was left out. The Gzer Shava comes to teach you not only is the or left out, but also the atzamot are left out. So that's how the Balei Tosafot deal with this limud of asham, matzamot, mutarim. Rashi in the Ktab Yad points out that ve'ola umiluim darish le Rabbi Akiva k'Rabbi Eliezer. That by ola umiluim, which are not mentioned in the second braita, Rabbi Akiva agrees with Rabbi Eliezer's limud from the previous braita, which is ola is matzrich kli, and miluim teach you that there's only notar by the basar of the korban, but there's no notar by a bal chai, by a live animal. So those two dinim that were learned in the previous braita, Rabbi Akiva agrees with them. So he doesn't mention them here, because it's not something that he changed or disagreed with in the previous braita. But now, Rabbi Akiva, hi, v'zavachta pesach, mayovidle. What does Rabbi Akiva do with the v'zavachta pesach? That was the source in our Mishnah for the fact that all korbanot come in a chulin was from the fact that it mentioned bakar and tzon in the pasuk that's dealing with the pesach, which only comes from tzom. So then, what does he do with it? He violates the Rav Nachman. He needs this for Rav Nachman. Damar Rav Nachman of Rav Avua. Inayin the motar of Pesach shekarev shlamim. How do you know that excess Pesach, excess monies that you segregated to pay for a Pesach, and now you paid for the Pesach and the monies are left over, shekarev shlamim. It's brought as a shlamim. That's the way Rashi in the Ketav Yad explains it, that it was excess monies that were left over. But if you look in the Yuchas to Rashi, he brings a second explanation, which is, in an acher shifrish piskov avad, the case where he separated a Pesach and got lost, v'fish acher taktav, v'achar kach nimsa rishon, and then they find the first one, and then you have two korbanot that are available for Pesach. The one that you don't use is the motar of Pesach. Shinemar, v'zavachta Pesach l'ashem elokecha, tzon ubakar, v'lo ein Pesach ba ela min ha-kvasim u-min ha-izim. Doesn't Pesach only come from tzon? It doesn't come from bakar. So why is bakar mentioned in the pasuk? Ela motar Pesach the davar ba min ha-tzon u-min ha-makar. The leftover, the residuals of Pesach shall be used towards something that comes from tzon ubakar. The korban that comes from both tzon ubakar is a shlamim. So in essence, what it's saying is that sometimes the Pesach turns into a shlamim, and that's when it's a motar Pesach. It says, "V'ha mehocha nafko." Is that where you learned that from? Midavu adishmol nafko. We have a different source for that. Dichtiv, because in Vayikra Gimel, when it speaks about the korban shlamim, as we just noted now, the korban shlamim can come from bakar and tzon. So therefore, in Vayikra Gimel, there are actually three parshiot that are repeated with regards to the shlamim. The first one is with regards to bakar, that is a shlamim. This next two are tzon, that are come from the shlamim, but each type of tzon. One for the kesev, and one for the eiz. One for the sheep, and one for the goat. So you actually have three parshiot of shlamim. And what the Gemara is noting over here is the fact that some of the wording in there is extraneous. The psukim begin by shlamim. It says, "Vim zevach shlamim korbano imam bakar hu makriv." If he brings it from a bakar, and then it gives you the whole explanation of what you do with the shlamim. Then the next parshia is, "Vim in atzon korbano lezevach shlamim l'shem zachar nekeva tamim yakrivenu." Starts out with the header of "im in atzon," and then the next pasuk is, "Im kesev hu makriv korbano," and then later on it says, "Vim eiz korbano." If it's saying kesev and it's saying eiz, we know those are tzon. So why do you have to tell me im in atzon? You already told me bakar, and now you're talking me kesev and eiz. I don't need im in atzon. So that's extraneous. So that's why Avu Adishmol says, im in atzon korbano lezevach shlamim. V'amar Avu Adishmol davar abba min atzon yehi lezevach shlamim. That buzz is going to teach you im in atzon korbano. Something that usually comes from the tzon will be lezevach shlamim. Will actually turn into a shlamim. So that teaches you that motar ha-pesach, or the Pesach itself, can turn into a shlamim. Bakate mehocha nafko? Is that really the source? Meotam nafko? We have a different source for this din. Vatanya. Don't we have braita? Keves, it really should be kesev, because that's what's found in the psukim. The rabot et a Pesach lalya. To tell you that the korban of Pesach also has to have the tail fats put on the mizbeach. The difference in the parshiot over there between that which is written about im kesev hu makriv versus vim eiz korbano, the key difference between those parshiot are the fats of the tail. The kriv mizevach shlamim mishel Hashem chelbo haliyat mima lumat ha'atzeh yisirenu. So by the area where the kidneys are, by the tail, you have to take off those fats. That's mentioned by the kesev, by the sheep. It's not mentioned by the eiz. So from this we learn that there's a difference in the korban shlamim of a kesev versus an eiz, or the extra fats that are associated with the tail of the sheep. And now what we're saying here is that word kesev or keves is extraneous because it says v'im etzon korbano, and then the next paragraph begins v'im eiz korbano. So if you say tzon and the next one is im eiz, then im kesef is obviously the only thing that's left over, and then you don't need it. So the rabo to the Pesach alya, to teach you that a korban of Pesach also requires that the tail fats be put on the mizbeach. So that's what you learn from the extra word kesef. Shumer, im kesef, the extra word im, then gives you an additional limud, avi Pesach avrashnato, and shlamim abayim machmata Pesach. To come to teach you that a Pesach that is aged out, A Pesach has to be a ben shana, has to be 1 year old. If it's not within its first year of life, then it can't be bar zakor in a Pesach. So a Pesach that ages out, or the shlamim that come because of the Pesach. Mechol mitzvot shlamim, that both of those have all the dinim of a shlamim. Shitanu smicha unisachim utnufat chazeh v'shok. They require smicha, nisachim, and the libations that go in them, utnufat chazeh v'shok, and the wave offering of the chazeh and shok. Why do you have that extra lashon? Im kesev, lavi pesach, shavrash nato, v'shlamim abayim machmada pesach, v'chol mitzvot shlamim. So the Rashi in the Ktav Yad explains that the shlamim abayim machmada pesach is chagigat yudalid. It's the chagiga that comes along with the korban ha-pesach. The miyuchas, the Rashi brings it as being motar ha-pesach. The Baal Tosafot reject motar ha-pesach as being the explanation because pesach shavrash nato is motar ha-pesach, and therefore you don't need to repeat it again. So he said clearly that's not the right explanation. They question whether Rashi's explanation that it is chagigat yudalit is also somewhat precarious. And that has to do with a discussion in other places in Shas where Tosafot points out Rashi's inconsistency in applying this din of chagigat yudalit. And that is, there's a machloket tanaim in the Gemara Pesachim with regards to whether chagigat yudalit looks more like a Pesach or looks more like a shlamim. The chamim believe that it looks like a shlamim versus Ben Tema, who thinks that the chagigat yudalit has all the same dinim as a korban Pesach. One of the big nafkaminot is how many days you can eat it for. If it's a shlamim, it can be eaten for 2 days and one night. If it's more like the Pesach, it can only be eaten for 1 day and one night, meaning that it would terminate at the same time that the Pesach terminates that night. And the Gemara in Pesachei Mandaf Lamed Vav, over there the Gemara says, just like the Todah is eaten Liyom Valayla, how do I know Minayin the Rabot Shamei Nazir Vishamei Pesach, that they also have that same din? Tamalomar Shlamav. So that we already saw before, that the use of the plurality by shlamav comes to go to other shlamim, including the shalmei nazir and the shalmei pesach. Rashi over there explains the shalmei pesach to be a reference to chagigat yudalid. And that the Tosafot is perplexed by, because first of all, the chachamim, who are the majority, say that shnei yamim v'layla echad, as well as the fact that we explicitly have the posuk that teaches us on ayin aleph and bet and psachim, that it's eaten the shnei yamim v'layla echad. And Tosafot points out Rashi's inconsistency in Chumash as well. In one place he thinks that Chagigat Yudalit is Yom Valayla, and in another place he seems to indicate that Chagigat Yudalit, the Shlamim, are for Shnei Yamim Valayla Echad. So Rashi seems to in some places explain like the Chachamim, and in other places they explain according to Ben Tema, who argues on the Chachamim, that Chagigat Yudalit looks more like the Pesach. So therefore Tosafot over here, it says that the language here doesn't really support it being Chagigat Yudalit, but it certainly doesn't support saying that it's Motar HaPesach. And then he quotes Rashi from Sochim and Daf Tzadi Vav, where Rashi says that it's Tmurat HaPesach. And he says maybe that's the possible explanation for what it means over here. Shumumer, Vim Eiz, Hifsika Yinyan. When it says Vim Eiz, it stops. The Vav is a Vav HaChiluk, Vim Eiz. So, Leimed Ala Eiz, Sheinotuna Aliyah. To teach you that the Eiz does not need tail fats to be put on. So now we learned two things. One is that the Pesach requires tail fats to be taken off if you bring it from a keves. It also does not require tail fats to be taken off if you bring it as an eiz, just like by the shlamim. And as Miuchas the Rashi explains, the reason you need a specific riboy here by the korban haPesach is, first of all, that the din of the chalavim of a Pesach are learned through a riboy from chelbam, and there it never specifies this distinction, and that's why you need it here. As well as the fact that you would have thought that maybe the Korban HaPesach should not have the fats of the Aliyah taken off of it, because the Korban HaPesach has to be shalem. It has to be roasted in its entirety. And if you take off the fats, that would be something that's chaser from the animal. And you would have thought possibly that they should not have the fats of the tail put on. That's what the Riboy comes to teach you, that the Korban HaPesach is no different than the shlamim when it comes to sheep, and the tail fats have to be taken off. In addition, we learned that a Pesach Shlamim Abayim Machmada Pesach and Pesach Shavrash Nato, they have the same din as a Shlamim. And that's from Im Keves. The Im and the Keves are extraneous. And both of those teach us the dinim. Both the din that the tail fats of the Pesach will go on the Mizbeach, just like that of a Keves Shlamim. As well as the fact that all the other trappings of a Shlamim are going to apply to a Korban HaPesach that's Avrash Nato or Shlamim Abayim Machmada Pesach. But now we have a problem, which is Tlata Trike Aktiv. We have now three psukim teaching us that a Korban HaPesach that is left over has to be brought as a Shlamim. Why do I need three psukim to teach me that? Chad, Vavraz Mano, Vavrashnato. One of them comes to teach you that both when it is past the time period when you can bring the Korban HaPesach, and the Korban HaPesach is aged out, in that instance, it goes to a Shlamim because it's no longer Roi the Pesach Legamre. So that's what we need one Pasuk for. And as the Bali Yatzosuf will point out, that the Avra Shnatov is Mano, Hu Adin Shnatov below is Mano. That's true if the year expired, even though the time is not elapsed, because it makes no difference. Once it's aged out, the Korban is no good, no matter what this Zman, whether you're before or after a Pesach, doesn't really matter because it's already aged out. Even though over here, if you segregated or separated before Pesach, that means at the time that you separated it out, you knew it was not going to be. So that is a little bit of a kiddush. But the Bali Yatzos would say that that's true of anything. If you're mafrisha nikeva that are not ruim from the outset for Korban Pesach, when the Korban Pesach when it comes from Zachar, also turns into a shlamim. So that's all captured by the first one, which is avra zmano ve'avra shnato. Chad, avra zmano v'lo avra shnato. The other one keeps teach us that if you pass the time for the Korban HaPesach, but it still has not aged out, meaning that you've already passed Pesach, but it still will be 1 year old when Pesach Sheni comes around, so therefore it still hasn't really aged out because it'll still be 1 year old when Pesach Sheni comes around, so there maybe you would not think it turns into a Shlamim, we say, becomes a Shlamim. V'chad lolo avra zmano v'lo avra shnato. And the last one is for a case where he's mafrish a Pesach l'achrayut. He took out a Pesach, got lost, and he found it. Now he has two Pesachim over here. So this one is both not aged out. It's the right age. And Zlo Avar Zmano is even before Pesach Rishon. Despite all of that, it turns into a Shlamim. So Rashi and the Ketav Yav explains the situation as to be a case, Shehifrish Seh Lepischo, V'Shachato Kodom Pesach, that he was Mafrish Seh Lepischo, and then he brought it to Lo Bezmano. He brought it before the time of Pesach. That how do we know that that turns into a shlamim? The other end, the miyuchas, the Rashi explains it as Ron Shavad kodem chatzot v'frisha cher tachtav v'nimtza. So it's a case where it got lost and then he replaced it and it was found before chatzot and Pesach. So in that case, if he brings one of them as a Pesach and he brings the other one before chatzot on that day, it is karev shlamim, even though it's adayin chazir the Pesach and chazir the Pesach rishon. So that does leave some question as to what about the fact that in the first source that we brought down, we suggested that it was a reference to Motar HaPesach, where Rashi in the Taviyat, and in one of the interpretations of Miuchas the Rashi, said it was Motar HaPesach, the leftovers, the residual monies of Pesach. And here in the Gemara, all three Tzukim are used, and none of them are associated with Motar HaPesach. What you have to say is something along the lines of what the Bali HaTosafot suggests, which is, Avra Shnato is the equivalent of Motar HaPesach. And so therefore, the case where it mentions Avra Shnato, subsumed in that is Motar HaPesach. And that's why the Bali Tosafot said in the third Braita, that the explanation of Shlamim Abayim Machmar HaPesach cannot be Motar HaPesach, because it already mentioned Pesach Shavra Shnato, which is Motar HaPesach. Now we have three different circumstances in which the Pesach is going to be, quote-unquote, disqualified, either for aging out or for passing the Pesach. And in each of those cases, we tell you the din is that they all are shlamim. Bitzriche, we need all of them. Diyash minin avrav zmano v'avna shnato. If you only told me the case where it fails on both of them, mishum de'idche le the gamre. Because that's totally outside the world of Pesach now. That's why it turns into a shlamim. Aval avrav zmano v'lo avrav shnato. In the case where you pass Pesach Rishon, but it's still 1 year old, which means that it, the chazi, the Pesach Sheni, is ra'oi for Pesach Sheni, emalo. Maybe there would remain a Pesach and not turn into a shlamim. If you tell me the case where it's past its time for the Pesach, but it's still not past its year, to idchelemi Pesach Rishon, because there at least it was knocked out of Pesach Rishon. Avalo avrazmano, velo avrashnato, in a case where it's before Pesach, and it still hasn't aged out, Da'afilu Pesach Rishon Nami Chazi, it's even roll away for Pesach Rishon, Emalo. Maybe over there it wouldn't turn into a Shlamim. Tzricha, that's why I need three psukim to teach me that Motar HaPesach is classified as a Shlamim, Because in each of those instances, there's a different din that we learn, each one becoming a bigger chiddush as we move along. If I had one pasuk, I would just assume that it's when it's Avrazmano Avrashnato, that it turns into a shlamim. I get a second pasuk, so I add on a chiddush that even though it's not Avrashnato, it is Avrazmano. And then I have a third pasuk, even a bigger chiddush. Even if it has neither of those, not Avrashnato, not Avrazmano, all of those turn into shlamim. Okay, with that, we complete the 8th perek, Hadron Halach, Adoda Haita Ba'a. So now, we move on to the 9th perek. And as I mentioned in earlier, the Rambam, the Perek of Mishnayot, that's Perek Rabbi Yishmael, which is the perek about the Omer that we saw earlier, after this perek. Because this perek starts to speak about the Omer, which is, Kol Korbanot HaTzibur VeYachid. All Korbanot of the Tzibur and the Yachid, Rashi over here says, Kol Korbanot HaTzibur, Hainu Minachot. That's a reference to a mincha. And therefore, according to Rashi, when it says the tzibur over here, it must be a reference to the lechem apanim and the minchat nisachim, because the shtei and lechem and the omer, which are also min tzibur, are going to be mentioned explicitly, separately, later on in the Mishnah. The Baalei Tosafot suggests that it might be that the tzibur over here is a reference to the zvachim, even though that does present a little bit of a problem in terms of the language of the Mishnah, which should have indicated that there are exceptions within Zvachim as well. It brings from the Tosefta that this din is also applicable by Zvachim, even though the Mishnah here would have to then be amended to add in language that would then tell you the exceptions to the rule. Nevertheless, it happens to be true by all Korbanot at Tzibur, not just by Menachot, but even by Zvachim, with the exception of two, Zvachim, the Bechor and the Maser. But absent Bechor Maser, this header would also apply to them. So all of these, by min haaretz, umi chutz laaretz, can bring them from Eretz Yisrael, or from outside of Eretz Yisrael. Min hachadash, umi hayashan, from the new grain, or the old grain. Either one is fine. Chutz, with the exception of, min haomer, ushtei alechem. The omer and the shtei alechem, she'enam ba'im ela min hachadash. They have to come from chadash. We know that the omer is the barley harvest, the new barley grain or flour that we're putting on the mizbeach. And the shtei lechem is the new wheat flour that we're putting on the mizbeach. They are a mincha chadasha that is placed on the mizbeach. So first of all, it has to come from the chadash, not the yashan. Umin haaretz, and it has to come from Eretz Yisrael. V'chulan einim ba'im ela min ha-muvchar. And when you want to bring these items, you should bring them from the best location. Ezo muvchar shalem. What is the best location where you would bring it from? Machnis v'zatcha alfa l'solet. Machnis and Zatcha, these are two cities. They are Alpha. Alpha, which is the Greek letter Alpha, they are the number one for Solit. They're the best place for Solit. Rashi over here, interesting enough, is trying to translate or understand what the usage of the Alpha Greek letter has to do with the Mishnah. So he gives two explanations. Just like Aleph is the first letter in the Hebrew alphabet, Alpha is the first letter in the Greek alphabet. And so that means number one. That's one possibility. So either it's the first letter, and this is first, or alpha, like aleph, represents one, because it's the first letter of the alphabet, and therefore it represents number one, that this is the best place for these things. Shnielahem, the second tier, is aforayim bibika. So there you have a first tier, and then a second tier. Rashi and Taviyat actually has a different girsa, which is kofrayim. And over there he points out that it was a city that had two locations, one up on the mountain and one in the Bika, and that's why the reference over here is to Kofrayim or Ofrayim Babika. Kol haratzot ayuk shirot. The truth is, any location would be fine within Eretz Yisrael, according to this. Ela mikana yumevin. Nevertheless, they brought it from these locations because these were the best quality, these were the highest rated flowers in the country for the wheat that was grown there. And therefore, they brought the minachot from there. So now Rashi over here says, what does it mean, kol haratzot? Sheba Eretz Yisrael. All the haratzot is Eretz Yisrael. What are the different lands in Eretz Yisrael? Gagon, Yehuda, Be'ira Yardain, Va'galil, Sherot. All three different areas that are found in Eretz Yisrael. The Mishnayot by Shvi'it also bring this down, that there are three areas for Shvi'it. And those three areas are Yehuda, the Galil, and Eretz Yardain. Now you can see here that the Gilyon HaShash, Rabbi Akiva Eiger, notes on Eivra Yardain that is not as straightforward. Rashi consistently mentions Eivra Yardain as being part of Eretz Yisrael and having Kedushat Aretz, And that is, again, borne out by that Mishnah in Shviit that also mentions Eivar Yardein. But you should know that there are other Rishonim that disagree, and it's a machloket as to what the status or the Kedusha of Eivar Yardein is. Is Eivar Yardein only Chayav Midorabanan, or is it Chayav Midoraita? What type of Kedusha does it have? If you look at the Psukim at the end of Sefer Yoshua, when Reuven, Gad, and Chatzim Shevi Menasher are heading back to Eivar Yardein, and they build a Mizbeach, which almost leads to a civil war, over there, Yoshua, when addressing them, says, if you think that your land on Eivar Yardein, which is Eretz Tamei, so he almost indicates that it's outside of Eretz Yisrael and doesn't have Kedusha to Eretz, whereas here in Rashi explains, and in the Mishnah and Shviit, it makes it sound like Eivar Yardein is part of Eretz Yisrael and does have Kedusha to Eretz. So that leads to a machloket amongst the Rishonim as to what exactly the status of Eivar Yardein is. Now the Gemara says, Matnitin Deloki Haitano. Our Mishnah does not follow this Tano. The Tanya. Omer Abba Min Hayashan Kasher. Omer that is brought from old grain is kasher. Shtei lechem abaut min hayashan kasherot. Also the shtei lechem that come from the old grain is kasher. Ela shechiser mitzvah. Just that you lost out. Lechatchila it should come from the new grain. Lechatchila that's what should be done. If you don't do it, it's not makev. But you lost out on doing the mitzvah in its most enhanced form. Omer dichtiv. How do I know that's true by the Omer? Because it says takriv et minchat bikurecha. It says you should bring your minchat bikurecha, and the word takriv is extraneous, to teach you vafilu min aliyah. Even stuff that was stored up in the attic, you can bring the omer from that. Shtei lechem dichtiv, mi moshvotechem taviu, velo min chutz laretz. You have to bring it from where you live, where you reside, and not from outside of Eretz Yisrael. Mi moshvotechem vafilu min aliyah. Well, if it's in Eretz Yisrael, then anything that you have in your possession is good enough to be used. And that means even min aliyah, even min hayashan. It says, hafikte. How do you do that? You just learned two things from Moshe Vatechem. One is Eretz Yisrael, not chutz laretz. Now you tell me, oh, within Eretz Yisrael, you can bring from the yashan also. How do you have two limudim out of the same word, Moshe Vatechem? Amarkra taviyu. Now the pasuk says, taviyu, which actually we saw just back on Daf Ayin Zayin, Asher Taviyu by the Shtei Lechem is extraneous. Because it already says, V'ikrapte mincha chadasha l'Hashem. So then why do you have to tell me again, Taviyu? So the guy says, V'afilo min aliyah. That teaches you that even from the Yashan it can be brought. V'ami Ba'ilei, we need it for the Gemara that we learned back on, Ayin Zayin Amud Bet, Shekol Shatam Evim Mimakom Acher, Ari Ukazeh. From there we learned, anything that is brought like the Shtei Lechem, has the same din as the Shtei Lechem, which means that you get an Isaron per Lechem. Chametz should have a content of one Isaron of Solet, and that we learned from the Shtei Lechem. And that's how we passed it on to the Lachmei Todah, was to say, Taviyu, whatever you bring should be just like this. So the Lachmei Todah, or the Chametz, the Lachmei Todah should be just like the Shtei Lechem and come from an Isaron each. Where it says, Imkein Lechtov Kura Tavi, should just say Tavi. My Taviyu, so why does it use the word Taviyu? Shmamina Tarte. So you can learn two things out from there. Vaktiv Reshit. Wait a minute. Doesn't the Pasuk in an Emor use the term Reshit? Taviyu b'nei Yisrael v'amar to them, ki tavo el aretz, asher ani noten lechem, uktzartem et et tzira, ve'vitim et omer Reshit, kirtzilchem el ha-kohen. It seems to indicate it's got to be the first. It's got to be the first, and first is not Yashan, it's definitely not the older grains. So how are you telling me over here that you can use the older grains? So the Gemara says, the mitzvah, that's exactly what I said before in the Braita, that's lechatchila, that's not me'akev. Ba'aktiv chadasha, doesn't it say by the shtei lechem, mikrapte mincha chadasha la'ashem, which also implies chadasha. So now the Gemara doesn't answer over here, lechatchila. They should have given the same answer that they gave by the Omer, which is Reshit is the mitzvah. Over here by Chadasha, they don't give that answer. And the Tosafot says over here, Alma Shana La'akev. It duplicated it to tell you that it's Ma'akev. Ulkach lo mishani ochel the mitzvah. That's why it doesn't answer over here the mitzvah like it did by Reshit. Because now the Mincha Chadasha already tells you a second time that it's gotta be new. That's because in Vayikra Bet it already says, Kol mincha asher tekriv l'Hashem lo te'aseh chametz, kichol sor v'chol devash lo tekriv mimenu yishel Hashem, Korban reshit takrivu otam lashem. Ve'lamizbeach lo yalu l'reach nicholach. That's a reference to the shtei alechem, which do come as chametz. So now you have the word reshit that appears by the shtei alechem, as well as the fact that it says that it has to be a mincha chadasha. And that's why Tosafot says that now you have a duplication, le'akev. If that's the case, you can't answer that it's only the mitzvah. And now you have to come up with a different answer to the problem. So Gemara says, Amibayle de Gdanya. We need the Chadasha to teach us the Braita of Rabbi Natan, Rabbi Akiva. Gdanya, Rabbi Natan, Rabbi Akiva, Amru, Shtei Lechem, Abaot Mina Yashan Kshirot. That the Shtei Lechem that come from old grain is fine, even though it says Chadasha. Umane Mikayim Chadasha. So then what's the word Chadasha teach me? Shtei Chadasha, Lochola Minachot. It just has to be the first mincha. It's not telling you whether the grain is new or old. It just has to be the first wheat mincha that is brought on the Mizbeach on that year. In the new year, the first wheat mincha that comes on the Mizbeach is the Shtei Alechem, is the mincha chadasha. So not that the grain itself has to be new, but it has to be the first mincha. Karen Ora points out, Rabbi Natan and Rabbi Akiva only mention their opinion with regards to Shtei Alechem. It's not clear what they hold by the Omer. And there is a possibility that they would think that by the Omer it is Me'akev, as opposed to the Shtei Alechem. So now Gemara says, Ad kan lo pligi ela b'chadosh. They only argue about Chadosh, Aval b'aretz lo pligi the Omer Shtei Alechem me'aretz in mechutz aretz lo. In both the Braita that we brought, as well as our Mishnah, declare that it has to come from Eretz Yisrael. They argue about whether it has to be Chadosh, or whether it has to be Yoshan. Our Mishnah says it has to be Chadosh. The Braita says that it should be Chadosh, but it can be brought from Yashan. As well as the Braita of Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Natan also suggested that it can come from the Yashan. But nobody argues on the fact that it has to come from Eretz Yisrael. And the Mar says, come on, who's that like? Deloki hai Tana, clearly not like this Tana. Titania Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Udo Omer, Omer ba mechutz laretz. So now we found another opinion, another Tanaic position, which is that Omer can come from Chutz La'aretz. Mani mikayim. So what about the pasuk that's found in Parashat Amor? Ki tavo'u el ha'aretz, which seems to be a pretty clear indication that it's when you come into Eretz Yisrael, that it's a din that's talui ba'aretz. Shelo nitchayvu ba'omer kodem shenichnasu la'aretz. That's not coming to tell you where the Omer comes from. It's going to tell you when the Omer started, or the din of Chodesh and Yoshan only started once they entered into the land. Before that point in time, it was not true. V'kasavar, and he holds Chodosh b'chutz la'aretz d'oraita. That Chodosh in chutz la'aretz is a din d'oraita d'chtiv. Mimo shvoteichem. Bakom makom shatem yoshvim. Mashma. What's mimo shvoteichem? It says mimo shvoteichem taviyu. That's why you bring the shtei alechem. It's mimo shvoteichem. Taviyu lechem tnufa. Shtaim, shnei sunim, soliti, enachamet stefena bikurim lashem. So Moshe Batechem, similar to the way that we learn Moshe Batechem in Parshat Vayakel, lo taviru ish b'chol Moshe Batechem b'yom HaShabbat. Chol Moshe Batechem over there doesn't mean in Eretz Yisrael, means anywhere that you dwell. So do over here. Moshe Batechem is chol makom shatem yoshvim mashma. V'chit havo. And then v'chit havo also is, if it's anywhere, then what's v'chit havo? Bizman biyoi. V'kevan de'oraiti akruvei nami makrivin. Since its chodosh is a din d'oraita b'chutz la'aretz, therefore you can bring the omer from chutz la'aretz. So first of all, just to summarize here, we have three different Tanaic opinions as to the omer and the shtei alechem. We have our Mishnah that says it must come from chodosh and it must come from Eretz Yisrael. We have the Braita and the Rabbi Kiva Menotan who indicate that it does not have to come from chodosh, but it does have to come from Eretz Yisrael. It should come from Chodesh, but it doesn't have to come from Chodesh, but it must come from Eretz Yisrael. Then we have Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, who is the third Tana, who says that it doesn't need to come from Eretz Yisrael. Now there's a very important statement here at the end of the Gemara, which has major implications, which is that the Gemara over here says, Kevin Doraiti, Akubi Nami Akribin. Gemara correlates the idea that wherever Chodesh is a Din Doraita, from there you can bring the Omer. So that means that Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda believes that Chodesh is d'oraita outside of Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, you can bring the Omer from outside of Eretz Yisrael. That means that those that hold that the Omer is only brought from Eretz Yisrael means that they don't think that Chodesh is d'oraita in Chutz La'aretz mean that there's a correlation between the two. They're interdependent. So that means that the author of our Mishnah, who says that the Omer and the Shtei Lechem come only from Eretz Yisrael, as well as the Braita later on, have to believe that Chodesh only has application in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutz La'aretz. That has a big implications in terms of the machloket as to whether Chodesh has application outside of Eretz Yisrael. We have a Stam Mishnah now. There's no author attribution to this Mishnah. The Mishnah says Omer and Shelech must come from Eretz Yisrael, which means that this Stam Mishnah believes that Chodesh in Chutz La'aretz is only Midrabanan and not Midoraita. Again, we have a Stam Mishnah in Orla that says the other way around, that Chodesh is Doraita in Chutz La'aretz. We have in Kiddushin the Machloket, which is where the Rachachamim say that Chodesh does not apply in Chutz La'aretz, whereas Rabbi Yehuda believes that Chodesh is Deoraita in Chutz La'aretz. So there's one Stam Mishnah in Orla that is following the position of Rabbi Yehuda, and there's a Stam Mishnah here that seems to be following the position of the Chachamim. And the question is, which one of those Stam Mishnayot govern? So this goes back to what we discussed earlier back on Daf Samechet with regards to Chodesh in Chutz La'aretz. This Mishnah is a pivotal point in some of those that reject the idea that Chodesh is a din d'oraita in Chutz La'aretz. Those that say it is, say that the Mishnah in Orla governs because that Mishnah has a list of halachot dealing with these issues of Chutz La'aretz and Aretz, and therefore it's topically relevant. Although some say that Menachot is the place where Chodesh should be discussed, and therefore this Mishnah is more important. That balance or that tension does have impact on this machloket about Chodesh in Chutz La'aretz as to whether it is or is not Doraita. Okay, we'll stop here by the two dots on the top of Pei Daled Amud Aleph.